they in fact are all connected in that they are the same group of people. So what have we got going on now? What we have going on now is more and more people are actually identifying is that there is a coup going on. The coup is particularly in the United States because President Trump is an individual who has been recruited by some people call the White Hats or the Patriots, basically the people who are opposed to this globalist elite. There is now a split in the population becoming more and more evident, and the people who are attempting to take power away from this mad psychopathic group that's running the place, they in effect went to President Trump. Now, who am I talking about? I'm talking about people in the Secret Service agencies.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. In the studio this morning, I have Aaron van Dreger, professor in political science, originally from Austria, who spent a lot of his time in Canada and is presently here in New Zealand as a visitor. And we have him in the studio as he wishes to share about the picture of what is actually happening on the macro scale, especially in the Western world, and the overall enlargement as to what is going on. Kia ora, Aaron.
Kia ora, Tim. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be in New Zealand.
Well, I'm glad we're very fortunate at many levels here. Now, Aaron, I want to be able to talk about the challenges around the free flow of information, media and the news and all sorts of things like censorship and shadow bans and blacklisting and censorship by omission. So, Aaron, the human species, we're not getting what I would call a very true story of what's going on. How do you see it as an ex-political scientist who's still very current?
We are, Tim, effectively in something like World War III. And World War III, in which we are now very sadly but very deeply involved, is a war of misinformation, disinformation, hoaxes and deceptions of all kinds. And of course, those initially and primarily are brought about and brought to us through the mainstream media, but sadly also through the universities and various professional associations and so on. Now, let me begin this. I'm going to give you an overview of what is happening in the Western world, as you said. People who are looking at what is actually going on behind the misinformation and disinformation are often called conspiracy theorists. And that's a very important term initially to look at, because the term conspiracy theorist was actually coined. It was invented by the American CIA after the assassination of President Kennedy. And the reason that they did that, as most people now know, is that in effect the official story about the assassination was totally incorrect. The notion that, or the official story, that Oswald actually was the single person who shot President Kennedy is not true. There were all sorts of other people involved. The people that are interested in that now know very exactly who the people were and what that deception, what that conspiracy was all about. So they invented that in order to ridicule people, in order to discredit people who said things which were against the official story. Now, the people who are looking at what's actually happening are now calling themselves conspiracy analysts. And that is people like myself, and there are more and more of those who are doing in-depth research about what is actually happening, which is behind the misinformation and disinformation that is being purveyed. The next thing I want to point out is that the disinformation that's coming out is through, as I mentioned before, all sorts of major institutions, the techno giants, Google, and let me point out that Google and Facebook and Twitter and Amazon and YouTube are all owned and controlled by the same people. So we have very few people at the top who are, in fact, they have the power, they have the capacity to put out information about what is going on, and they are the ones that are interested in, some people say, dumbing down the population. It's more a case of actually feeding them information which is incorrect. We see that very clearly since the expression fake news has come up. Now, that came up with the election of President Trump. If you look back 4 or 5 years ago, no one would have used that expression. So that's come up. And since then, it's become clearer and clearer that what these techno giants and the mainstream media, like the Wall Street Journal and CNN and the New York Times, what they are doing is that they are feeding this information to people because the people at the top want to create a confusion, a chaos, in which they can, in effect, continue to control and increase the control that they have over the major systems. Now, what are the major systems? Well, first of all, obviously, banking is a major system. And that, as more and more people are finding out, in effect, is not a system which is in any way equal or reasonable in terms of looking after people's savings, which the banks are supposed to do, but they, in effect, are taking the money, they're skimming the money, not only skimming it off the top, but in effect amassing it in their own hands. And as most people now know, and I'm going to put this all together in one big package, as most people now know, what these banks, the Federal Reserve particularly, or Deutsche Bank, or the World Bank, unfortunately, sadly, but also including the Vatican Bank, what these people are doing is amassing the wealth and therefore the power in their own hands. And again, as more and more people are finding out, here's another aspect, is that the people who are doing this are actually psychopaths and sociopaths. What do I mean by that? They are people who are capable of amassing power by creating all sorts of violence events, killing people, starting and continuing wars all over the place, and they can do that by sleeping at night. You and I, Tim, couldn't do that.
That's correct.
So here's another piece of the puzzle. How do they do that? Well, first of all, you've got certain families, bloodlines. If I mention any names, you'll probably recognize them immediately. Rothschild is on everybody's lips, but there are any number of others. So I'm not going to try to give you the names because that's not so important. The important thing is that there is this small clique. They're often called, and I'll give you some names, the cabal, the globalists. Some people call them the Illuminati. I very often just simply refer to them as the big boys. They are the people that are controlling the system, and one can see that in that the rich are increasingly getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. That division has been particularly continuing over the last 20 years or so. And that division means that the ordinary people, the ordinary middle class, are now finding themselves in more and more, not only difficulty, but very severe difficulty. And that's in terms of the jobs, many of which are no longer ordinary permanent jobs. Now they're casual jobs. They are situations in which foreign people are brought in to undercut the wages, in which companies are sent to or allowed to go to other countries so that the workers inside a country, the United States particularly, but also here in New Zealand and in Australia where I live most of the time, their jobs that are available through those major manufacturing companies and so on have been taken over by other countries. And that makes the middle class poorer and poorer. So we've got that situation. Now, back again to the people that organize the psychopaths. What is it that makes it possible for them to do that? Well, let me give you one very important piece of this puzzle. And that is that they come from backgrounds, they come from ways in which they are themselves being socialized, brainwashed, if you like, or indoctrinated, that they can do this. How do they do that? Let me give you a significant example. For instance, there are places where these people gather, and I'm talking about the cabal or the globalists or Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, And they have ceremonies there. Now, this may sound very weird, but we've got absolute evidence of that because we have videos showing them. For instance, in California, there's a place called the Bohemian Grove. What's that? It is a big estate of many, I think it's thousands of acres. It's a very large place. And it's very protected in that you can't get into it. Only the people that are members of this global elite are allowed in there. What do? Among other things, they obviously talk to each other. They have a good time. They have ceremonies in which they dress up in black robes. They've got funny black hats on. They carry torches. I'm not kidding. This is what's happening. And they stand in front of a stone owl, which is 40 feet tall. What is the ceremony called? The cremation of care. Now think about that for a minute. The cremation of care. What does that mean? Even the ones that have been best indoctrinated in terms of we are the elite, we are entitled to run the world ourselves, even they have to be further put through a process of, if you've got any care whatsoever about your fellow human beings, that has to be extinguished. So we've got a ceremony, and it's called the cremation of care. I mean, it's really deadly stuff when you look at it.
Very much so. I've heard this Moloch or something like that. Is that right?
Moloch,
yes. Gosh, we hear via alternative media things like the Bilderbergers, and then there are other connections as well. You might belong to the Skull and Bones from Yale, or you may also be the Council of Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission, all these things, Club of Rome. And so these are what you are talking about.
Exactly. You've obviously yourself been doing the research as a conspiracy analyst in order to find out who these various organizations actually are. Now, let's get to the next step. What these people are involved in are the whole drug trade, the importation of drugs, the opioids. It's a total calamity. It's a national disaster, particularly in the United States, but also in other parts of the world. They're involved in human trafficking. They're involved in the sex trade. They're the pedophilia group. It's the same outfit. These people all belong to the same group. In other words, the pedophilia people, the top banking people, the top media people, the people who are still in control of the President Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex, they're the same people. So you've got a whole combination here where all these things, which individually people are looking at and documenting and being terribly upset about, as they should be, they, in fact, are all connected in that they are the same group of people. So what have we got going on now? What we have going on now is more and more people are actually identifying is that there is a coup going on. The coup is particularly in the United States because President Trump is an individual who has been recruited by some people call the White Hats or the Patriots. Basically, the people who are opposed to this globalist elite. There is now a split in the population becoming more and more evident. And the people who are attempting to take power away from this mad psychopathic group that's running the place, they, in effect, went to President Trump. Now, who am I talking about? I'm talking about people in the Secret Service agencies, which are split inside. When you're talking about the CIA or the FBI or the NSA, there are some 15 or 16 of these three-letter agencies in the United States, most of whom, most people, they wouldn't even recognize their names. But they exist and they cooperate, and in them there is a split between the people who are actually plain, ordinary, humane individuals who want to have people cooperate with each other and not be misinformed and disinformed and be involved in the chaos that's been created. And so over the last, let's say, particularly 30 years, and I'm picking that figure sort of out of a hat, that those people have formed sort of an underground of a combination of people who've said that what is going on here has got to be stopped, has got to be challenged. So, dear Donald John Trump, who himself, sure, in many ways, he's a billionaire. There's no doubt that he's got a very high ego. There's no doubt that in some ways he's probably also a bit of a megalomaniac. But if you're going to face this cabal that I've been describing with somebody who will actually challenge them, it's not going to work if you're going to go to a nice, peaceful, lovely, friendly person like Tim here over there. Tim is not going to do it for you. But you're going to have to recruit. And that is why these people recruited Donald Trump, is somebody who in some ways was actually thinking, maybe I might actually be interested in running for president. So we had a group of these people, particularly army generals. And if you look at pages on the internet, you'll quite easily see this. Trump surrounded by military people. The military people had to be behind him, including these groups from the various Secret Service agencies and ordinary people in the banks, in the financial institutions, even in the universities, who are interested in changing the system. They got together with dear Donald Trump and said, look, we have two ways of dealing with this thing. One of them is we try to do it legally. And that is, we go by the Constitution of the United States, we go by the laws that protect individuals, and that are meant to ensure a civil society, a cooperative society, which is not going to be perfect, but basically going to be humane and basically peaceful. They went to Trump and said, will you be the guy who we will support you in order to try to take this system down legally? Because if it's not done legally, if you can't proceed through the legal system by using the courts, the Constitution, the civil laws, the next thing that happens is you go to force. Because beneath the law, if the law doesn't work, you get to force. And what does force mean? Force means people becoming violent. You're going to have an insurrection. You're going to have a revolution. You're going to have a civil war. Okay? So let's first of all try to do this legally. And this is what they have been trying, not only trying, but actually working at doing. And that is why dear Mr. Trump has been attacked more and more. First, it was the whole Russia witch hunt, the whole Russia hoax. Okay, now they spent somewhere between $30 and $40 million with some of the top lawyers in order to try to find some dirt on Mr. Trump, some Russian collusion or some obstruction or something. Well, they weren't able to find anything. They indicted a few people which had nothing to do with the Russian collusion because they had presumably lied to the CIA, or they didn't have their tax returns weren't incorrect. But those were completely little sideline issues. In the main, they actually failed. The whole Mueller report came out, failed. What's the next thing to do? And that is, they accuse them of racism. That Trump is actually a racist, he's opposed to the Latinos and he's against the blacks. Well, that didn't work because the Latinos and the blacks came out and said, you know, we're better off than ever. Trump said to us, vote for me, what else can you lose? And we're actually better off than we were before. Okay, so the race thing didn't work. What's the next thing that they did? Well, now they're coming out with this attempt that there are whistleblowers that are now saying that he's talking to the president of the Ukraine and threatening the guy if he doesn't, in effect, proceed to investigate Joe Biden or his son Hunter or whatever, that he'll withhold military aid to the Ukraine. That's not true either, because dear Mr. Trump publicized, he opened up the transcript of that conversation, so that's not working either. So we're seeing the mainstream media, the whole cabal, going more and more desperate. And what is sadly, unfortunately, but truly the next, is that if the Constitution cannot be, in effect, used effectively in the courts, then a civil war in the United States is actually possible. And we are at that cusp, at that trigger point right today.
Okay, can I go back a couple of things?
Sure.
You talked about Donald Trump being such a hard man, etc. I have heard that he was actually asked to go for a president because he also had the most narcissistic of qualities to actually get him through over the line, because most people would be driven to tears. And so I think that's an interesting statement that somebody made. And I'll go back one more step too. I saw the movie Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick. And that, when I saw that, my antennae went through the roof because I realized that this is how all the big East Coast families throughout the United States were blackmailed into submission, to be quiet and not want to actually care for human beings, because America wanted to, in many ways, wanted to help the world. It was a country that allowed people to freely come there to start a new life. And so I think that's very interesting. And finally, one other small thing. This change happened sort of just after 9/11, when the American military realized it was being used in all these wars that the military didn't want, but, shall we say, the neocons and the cabal were wanting, and they caused all these problems in the Eastern Mediterranean with all the refugees flooding over into Europe, destabilizing Europe, because that's all part of the game too, is to break down society whatever way they can.
Exactly. So I'll respond to the various points you've made. Yes, dear Mr. Trump, from what one hears from him, about him, and the people that actually go and visit him and talk about him in the White House, he is indeed a narcissist and an egoist, but in many ways, or in the most fundamental way, he actually is a patriot in the sense that he wants to restore the constitutional system of the United States. Now, the constitutional system of the United States is not going to prevent millionaires or even billionaires from being made. So there's no way, I think, that he is opposed to that. The United States could still be a vastly unequal society in terms of the people making lots of money and the people making not so much. But the key point is that the cabal or the neocons have gone too far. And he and a whole bunch of other billionaires who are with him are actually saying, look it, we can't go along with this because this is a non-sustainable, it's a non-win situation. We're going to go down effectively as well in this kind of a crazy psychopathic thing. One of the billionaires, I forgot his name now, but he's on YouTube talking on a TED Talk. And what he said was, look, he's talking to his fellow billionaires. And what he's saying is, look, we have got to change the system to make it better, to make it more peaceful, to make it more reasonable for ordinary people. Otherwise, in his words, the pitchforks are going to come out. Okay? So you've got a system in which, you're quite right, Trump is a narcissistic individual, but he is a bull. I see him as a bull that is ramming against the gate, and he may be the first of several to come. Another point that you raised was the issue of effectively what happened on Tuesday, the 11th of September, 2001, what is commonly known as 9/11. Now, that was the biggest false flag, the biggest deception that, in effect, has been done on the American people. I call it the biggest elephant in the room. Because what happened there, and once again, we now, those of us that have been researching the situation in depth, have found out that, in effect, it was the Secret Service agencies. Now, I shouldn't say that. It was top people in the Secret Service agencies that actually planned, managed, organized, and staged that. For those of you that are interested in pursuing that, I'll give you just two authors that are some of the best ones that I know of that have researched and documented this. In terms of the day itself, that is Tuesday, the 9/11, the 11th of September, 2001, there's an air stewardess, a lady whose name is Rebecca Roth. Rebecca with K-A-H at the end, and Roth, R-O-T-H. If you look at the internet, you will find that she has written four books. And the four books have been written as novels about exactly what happened on that day. Because as an air stewardess, air hostess, or whatever they were called, she had been in the aviation sector in the United States for something like 30 years. She's now a grandmother, she's got grandkids, and she's living fairly underground in the United States. I'm surprised that she's still alive in many ways. What she has documented is what actually happened on that day as a result of her experience from hearing the telephone calls, from getting information from her colleagues about the actual
mobile phones.
No. What I meant is the documents that show what people were actually on those airplanes.
Manifestos? Passenger list.
There's another name for it. In any case, every time an airplane takes off, they have to have an absolutely accurate list of who is on that airplane and where they are sitting. And what she found out from colleagues of hers is that, in effect, there was not a single Arab on any of those airplanes. And they were, in effect, most of them not even half full. They were half empty. So that got them thinking, look, if there's no Arab on here, the whole story that there were Middle Eastern people, Arab people, from wherever, whether they were Osama bin Laden people or Saudi Arabia, it can't possibly be true because they weren't on those airplanes. And then what they found out next is that some of the people that were on the airplanes were Mossad people. That's Israeli intelligence organization is called Mossad. And they found out that one of the people from that Mossad agency that was on one of those planes was like he had a category, a classification that he was entitled to kill, something like James Bond. So starting out with that and then continuing by getting information from other people in the aviation industry who told her what happened on that day, where they were, what radar tower they were manning, what part they played in the Federal Aviation Administration in the United States, she's put together one after the other four books. And she wrote those as novels. And in the introduction, she makes it very clear, look, I'm telling you exactly what happened on that Tuesday, and I'm not naming people. And you can imagine why I'm not naming those people, because they're bloody dangerous. Okay, so that's on that particular day, and that author. The person who has documented the whole history of that, and the various agencies and people and groups that were involved, is an author who is an American, he's a Texan, and his name is Christopher Bullen, B-O-L-L-Y-N. And he wrote a book called The Deception That Changed the World. What is the beginning of it? Something 9-11, The Deception That Changed the World. Where did I write this down? Solving 9-11, The Deception That Changed the World. And what he has done, he was a journalist for a major American news agency. And, of course, I don't know whether they fired him or whether he quit before they were able to do that. But he became interested in what was happening in the Middle East. He had already done quite a bit of research in that area. And what he does in that book is that he lays out the planning of the attack on the Twin Towers in New York. And that was planned for something like 20 years before it happened. And he gives exact information about who the people were, who the organizations were, and how they, in effect, did that. So that biggest elephant in the room resulted in the death of, when you combine people in the airplanes that were not involved with the CIA, ordinary passengers, and all the people that died in the Twin Towers, there were over 3,000 Americans that were killed. And it was, as the people who actually did it, they called it a new Pearl Harbor. That is actually the phrasing that they used, and you can find that on the internet in a document which they had authored, which is called the Project
New American Century.
The Project for the New American Century, yes. And that particular way of flying airplanes into buildings had been proposed once before in an operation called Project Northwoods to President Kennedy at the time of the Cuba crisis. The top military guy in the United States below the president, in effect, came up with a project which said in order to discredit and ridicule and then be able to attack Cuba, we can fly airplanes into buildings. And so that scenario had been completely laid out as a program to be done. And then President Kennedy said, no, you're not going to do it. That was one of the things that got him killed. The other thing that got him killed is that he was looking at taking over, nationalizing the Federal Reserve. Now, as undoubtedly most, if not all of your listeners know, the Federal Reserve is a conglomerate of privately owned banks in the United States. It sounds good. It sounds like the Federal Reserve is owned by or controlled by the American government, by the American president. Well, it isn't. He does have the ability to nominate the chairman of that outfit, but basically the outfit is a private outfit of private banks who are in that whole system of creating fiat currencies, etc. So back to the whole business of 9/11, it was created as a new Pearl Harbor. Why? In order to get the Patriot Act passed, which takes away American civil liberties, the whole provision of the Magna Carta, which dated back in England to what, 1215 or something like that, the right to appear before a magistrate if you're arrested, habeas corpus, all that has been taken away by the Patriot Act. Americans would never have stood for that. But in the aftermath of this giant hoax, this huge deception, which was attributed to, you know, some guy by the name of Osama bin Laden, who was supposed to be living in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan, which it clearly wasn't. In order to get the American people willing to have the Patriot Act passed, it was passed by Congress. They hadn't even read it.
That's right.
It's 900 or something pages long, and it was already there to be passed. You can't draft something like that in a matter of a few days. And the other thing is to invade first Afghanistan and then start the whole Middle East wars and all that mess that happened over there. Now, in addition to all that tremendous mess, I mean mess, it's a killing, it's a murdering of individuals, bombing their houses and devastating the place. What happens as a result of that? You get the, in some ways, almost forced migration of people into Europe. And that, too, is not just simply a happenstance. Oh, well, this is an unfortunate result. This was part of the plan. How do you get people to move? And it's an invasion in some way of Europe. That's also part of this whole parcel. Sadly, but truly, England, the number of people that came into England, sure, they escaped their own countries. Well, why? Because they had no longer any jobs. Not only no jobs, they had no houses. The whole place was bombed, so they had to move. It's not surprising that they want to. But they come from a completely different culture. And a lot of them are very, very angry people. And so in places like England, or particularly Sweden is a classic example. Sweden, that used to be one of the most progressive countries in the world. If you want to go and see a country, wow, in which social benefits and generally jobs and industries and opportunities for people to get ahead, free education and so on. It was an example in the world. And now Sweden is the rape capital of Europe. Now, what in heaven's name has happened? And this is also, sadly, but actually, part of the plan in order to create chaos, and I'm back into World War III. This is a World War III of disinformation, misinformation, but also creating chaos and putting people against each other on racial grounds, on religious grounds, on grounds of color, on grounds of differences of income, you name it. It's a process which has been planned by these crazy psychopaths in order to divide, split up, create chaos, insecurity in the population. And that's what we've got. That's what's been happening. We're in a total mess. And the people that are very much involved in taking down this mess are the people behind President Trump. So if one wants to see the heart of this storm, then Washington is the place to look at. Because that is where this is now being fought out, still legally, in the sense that these things are going into court. It's still being operated by, at the present time, attempts in Congress to impeach the president, totally on completely spurious and false grounds. But they're still fighting it out in a, what shall I say, civilized. It doesn't look very civilized at times, but in a legal sense. They're still doing it on the basis of the laws and taking the thing to court and proceeding in that kind of way. But right below that, immediately below that, is the threat that, in effect, if this cannot be done in a legal fashion, then it gets into violence on the streets. I've heard very recently, and from very good sources, that in effect the Marines, the military, the reserves have been put on alert in the United States. The president is the commander-in-chief. Now, if he puts that whole group of military people on alert, what does it mean? That it could result in martial law being declared. What would that mean? Well, if it's on the side of the people who are looking to change the system in some fundamental way, make it more humane, it means putting soldiers, Marines, whatever uniformed people on the street and saying, look, nothing is going to move here. Essential services keep on going, but at the present time, we have now reached a case of absolute national emergency. We don't want any fighting, which could easily erupt. Everybody's armed. We need to create a period of time in which we have martial law in the country. That is, everything except essential services are shut down, because we now have to get to the heart of the matter and take on the people who are attempting to control the whole place and, in effect, institute the rule of law once again. And I'll put in one more thing here that is a possibility. And that is the possibility of military tribunals coming into effect. Those of you who have watched or listened to what's been happening all along will probably remember very significant events. And that is the nomination and selection of judges for the High Court, the Supreme Court in the United States. They call it the Supreme Court over there. The Supreme Court is of paramount importance because if it comes to constitutional crisis, it is the Supreme Court which makes the decision about whether the executive branch, namely the president, is actually entitled to do things like enforce martial law and also bring to trial people who are indicted on the most severe charges. And those charges would be sedition and treason. So what could happen at that point is that if the regular process can't straighten things out, then the army might very well institute tribunals and then take some of the top people, and again, I don't particularly want to mention names, but directors or former directors of the CIA, of the FBI, particularly somebody like John Brennan, but it goes much further and even higher than that. I mean, some of the top people in the United States could be indicted for treason. They would be brought before military tribunals. And here's a significant bit. When Justice Kavanaugh was nominated for the Supreme Court, there was an enormous kerfuffle going on attempting to find some dirt on this guy so that he would not be appointed. Why did they go to so much trouble? And eventually they couldn't find anybody except some woman that said 30 years ago at some high school do, he sexually inappropriately, whatever, did something to her. And that turned out to be a fake. The point is, why did they try by all possible means to stop this guy Kavanaugh from being put on the Supreme Court? A man with a tremendously good reputation, an excellent lawyer, would have made, and now is, an excellent judge. Well, Trump had been able to put Gorsuch on the Supreme Court before that, and Kavanaugh, being put on the Supreme Court, now gave Mr. Trump the balance. If the military would institute tribunals to try people for sedition and treason, the only appeal against that, because it bypasses all the other regular courts, is to go directly to the Supreme Court and say, is this okay? Is the army entitled to do that? And since the, let's call them the Trump people, some people call them the Patriots or the White Hats, since they now have a possible majority in the sense of people that would actually support and agree that the Constitution is the fundamental document, the Supreme Court would have the decision if and as those tribunals were in effect legitimate. And if that's the case, the army could proceed, and in that case you would have a counter-coup. There are people like Dr. Pizhnik, for instance, in the United States, but more and more, who are saying there is a coup happening in the United States. They're trying to take down the president, and not for partisan political reasons, but actually because this group in control want to continue doing what they're doing. And so the opposition to that is a counter-coup. And the counter-coup would be to restore legitimate government in the United States. Now, here we go to the big picture once again. If and when that happens, and I'm one of the people, of course, that hope it does happen and that the system gets reformed, then one would find, my goodness, that people in the whole pedophilia rings, people in the banking system, people in the universities, people in the media, people who are involved in these tech giants that, as you say, are providing misinformation, they would all be involved. Goodness knows, half or maybe more than the people in Congress, in both parties, might very well be seen to be involved in these human trafficking and sex trafficking and pedophilia and God knows what sort of rings. So at that point, if it ever comes to that, we'd have an incredible, genuinely unprecedented situation which we would see. We're on the cusp of this thing right now. And even the mainstream media are now having to report what is going on because it is so critical. And if you hear the news at all today or tomorrow, even the mainstream media will say something about there are continuing attempts to impeach the president. They're trying their best to get rid of Trump because he is the front man of this whole movement that is challenging this corrupt system. And the heart of the corruption, I mean, really sadly, and a lot of Americans have really difficulty accepting this, the heart of this is, in effect, the swamp full of alligators. Trump said, I'm going to drain the swamp. These alligators are in Washington, and then their allies and subsidiaries are all over the place, not only in the United States, but also in other countries. While I'm at it, in the big picture, let me give you another piece that fits, that makes this whole picture into one big puzzle, and that is the group known as the Five Eyes. The Five Eyes are the intelligence services of the United Kingdom, of the United States, Canada, Australia, and even here, little New Zealand. The Secret Service agencies of those countries are combined, and they are in collusion with one another. You know, I feel very sad to the point of what goes beyond that. I mean, really, really, really badly, personally, emotionally affected that we are here in New Zealand, and some of the Secret Services here in New Zealand are part of this corruption that has been happening and is happening in the whole of the world. So here I am in little old New Zealand, which is so friendly and people are so nice, basically. But even here, that chaos is visible and sometimes felt. The first time I was in Auckland, I think it was now 40 years ago, and Auckland was very different then. Much more peaceful, much more easygoing.
Slower.
Yeah, not just slower, but even more helpful. And now Auckland, starting with the whole traffic congestion here. And generally, one can sense that there's a feeling of unease. So talking individually to people that may be listening to me here, if you feel uncertain or insecure or ill at ease, or you feel that, things aren't going well in the world, you are by no means, you're not wrong, and you're not alone. That feeling of unease, which people feel personally inside their own lives, with their kids, with their relationships, in their jobs and so on, is the result at the micro level, at the individual level, of this massive, literally, war that we are involved in, the corruption and the effort on both sides. There's a fight going on. There's a real fight happening, and that's being felt by ordinary citizens, by ordinary people, in their families, at the dinner table. And it's not surprising, because this is what we are in, and it is massive. And it's pretty horrible, and it's got to be changed. And everybody, by the way, has an opportunity to help in getting that changed. Even if you just put your personal energy into saying, I want to have things turn out for the good. I want to have a situation which is more cooperative, which is happier, which is easier. Stay in that wavelength. Hold that wavelength. Radiate that wavelength in whatever religious belief or affiliation you have, or if you don't have a religious one, just do it in a humane way. And my suggestion at the micro level is, when you see people on the street, say hello once again. When I first came to Auckland, I would walk down the street and people on Queen Street would say, oh, hello, where are you from? Oh, I came over from Canada. Now people don't talk to each other. when you go to a checkout at a local grocery store, whichever one you go to, say hello to the person who's on the checkout and hope that they have not just, you know, not just this formal kind of almost fake thing of have a nice day, but ask them something personal about themselves and say, oh, I hope you're doing well. Engage your neighbors in friendly conversations like that. That helps.
Okay, that's very important. That's paying it forward, random acts of kindness. I'm speaking with Professor Frederick Van Drager, Aaron Van Drager, former chairman of the Department of Political Science of the University of Prince Edward Island in Canada. At 80 years of age, he is retired. Aaron, what I want to do is recap. A lot of people don't believe, naturally, in the fact that the US white hats in the military could want to have this particular soft option with Trump going in first, and if that didn't succeed, they would actually have a military coup in America. There's lots of people there saying, oh, look, I just don't know about this. So we've got to be able to, should we say, verify this a little bit more. Now, there's an ex-CIA operative, Robert David Steele, who tells a lot about this. And then there's a guy called Kevin Shipp, who's another ex-CIA whistleblower. I suggest do a search, YouTube search. And if you don't use Google, that'd be better. But it's a challenge sometimes because we are now realizing it's very difficult to find good quality media that questions the status quo. And then there's Paul Craig Roberts, ex-assistant secretary to the Treasury for Ronald Reagan, and also ex-associate editor for the Wall Street Journal. And he is definitely worth following up because he is exceptionally clear as to where America is being challenged. There are many people, but YouTube, via Google, are censoring all the alternative news media. And this is imperative to know. They are, in many cases, shadow banning. They're blacklisting alternative news by censorship of omission. Because I'm just going to jump in just quickly. On the 14th of December, 2017, Lisa Eyre did an interview on 9/11 and covered some very important points. I want to add to this. How does an airplane disappear into a hole in Shanksville and vanish without a trace? Check it out. This is really important. I mean, how America accepted the fact that an airplane could disappear in a hole in Shanksville, a 757, and no wings, no engine, no luggage, no nothing, and the same for the Pentagon. There's no wings, no anything. And the last thing there, Mohammed Atta losing his passport. people got to really get this. Here he was, supposed to be in this airplane, but they found his passport about half a mile away from the World Trade Center. It was ever so slightly singed. It got out of his coat pocket, out of the flaming cockpit, out of the exploding skyscraper, amongst all that rubble, and next minute, his passport's up on the side of the road, and they say, yes, there it is. There's proof that he did it. This is the storyline that goes on, the sheer madness.
Yes, I totally agree. On the other hand, when one looks at it, what shall I say? I could say scientifically, more objectively, or from a larger perspective. You have a situation that's developed, which for talking about American citizens, it is inconceivable. It was inconceivable, and still is in many cases, inconceivable to ordinary American citizens holding ordinary jobs. You know, the kids have been going to ordinary schools. It's been inconceivable that their government, or parts of their own government, including people at the very top, would do what actually has been done. It's just completely out of the realm of possibility as far as these people have been concerned. And so what's happening now, perforce, is what many are calling an awakening, or even a great awakening. And that's hugely difficult, particularly for ordinary Americans. I used to live in Canada. I was in Canada for many years and toured through the United States in our little Westphalia camper van with my two teenage daughters. And we literally crisscrossed from one part of the country to another, thousands of miles. We had a great time. So I had the opportunity of meeting an awful lot of Americans, particularly in the smaller cities, in the towns and so on. They're lovely people, basically.
Certainly, I agree. I've lived there twice.
Certainly 40 years ago, when all this was happening, it was so much easier. Now, if one had said at that point to the United States, look, your president may actually be a corrupt person who is willing to stand by or even be involved in organizing the death of thousands of your citizens, they would have said, I mean, come on, you're a lunatic. But, you know, they'd be very kindly send you into some very pleasant lunatic asylum where you're well fed. But it's absolutely impossible. And we are going through a process at which ordinary Americans who felt that way, and now their sons and daughters, have got to come to grips with, my goodness gracious, what's been happening to us is worse than what happened to, say, the Germans under Adolf Hitler. Worse than what happens to the Italians under Mr. Mussolini. Some of the very top people that we elected to be presidents, the older Bush, the H.W. Bush, George Bush, and then Clinton. I mean, these people appear to be okay, particularly Clinton. Clinton has an IQ of above 150. He came here to New Zealand, but he's a lovely person. How could such a person or his wife, Hillary, be some of the top leaders in this massive criminal corruption that's going on? It's a huge change of mind that has to happen here. A huge willingness to drop one's convictions. You know, it's like going to somebody who's a very convinced, I don't know, Catholic or Protestant or Buddhist or whatever, and saying that your whole religion is actually based on a fundamental deception by the very top people. Very, very, very hard to do. So I'm for sympathy, for compassion with the people that have been in this way propagandized, given false information. The New York Times, for God's sake, was meant to be the newspaper that gives you the best news, all that's fit to print, and you're reading the truth. Well, you're now finding out, as Mr. Trump said, he's the chief commander of the American forces, and he said about the New York Times that it is the enemy of the people. Well, for goodness sake, I mean, you're faced with a catastrophe here. And that's what we're in. So all I can advise is to say be compassionate to the people who are still, you know, very much completely frazzled and upset and totally bamboozled, or the ones that don't want anything to do with it. Look, I'll get on with my job. Don't tell me anything about that. But one more thing in response to your point about the people that are working toward and helping toward getting the system changed, they're ordinary people that are working in the banks. The people that are maneuvering the financial system are not the ordinary people that are working in the banks. They're just doing their job, and they're interested in having the thing change. But what can they do? They're having to pay their mortgage. They're having to look after their kids. So they're just sort of doing their job. But the moment an opportunity comes up of actually having the system change, they will be on board.
Yeah. Very true. They're compartmentalized throughout the whole system, so they don't know what's going on upstairs. They just do their job, and they do a good job as they can at the lower levels.
Even if they do, Tim, I was talking to a couple of tellers at the Bank of New Zealand here, just a small branch, and we got into talking some of this. These are New Zealand, these are Kiwis working at a small town branch here. They know what's going on. They just don't know what can we do about it.
Yeah, look, I'll tell you what, there were so many other things that I wanted to talk to you about in this interview. I want to mention that the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon.
Yes.
And Amazon and Google have got a total interrelationship. That was one thing. I also know that the information I've had, Obama is donkey deep in it too. Donkey deep.
Yes.
And then finally, having lived in America twice, I met an American who worked as a military intelligence in Vietnam. And one day he was doing the perimeter of one of the big air bases, Da Nang or something like that, and he saw a light coming from a hangar. And so he thought, that light shouldn't be on. It's supposed to be dark. So he sneaked over and had a look, and he could peer through this little hole.
Yes.
And inside the hangar, he saw CIA operatives putting heroin into body bags that were being sent back to Uncle Sam's place in America.
Yes, exactly. And the whole Clinton Foundation, I mean, if one looks at that in any sort of depth, they're some of the most corrupt people, sadly. Look, everybody, be optimistic. Talk to your neighbors, be friendly, and be positive in your outlook, because we're going to take this system down and substitute another one. That's the other side. We might talk about that some other time, that there is a whole process in place in order to get a intelligent, reasonable, peaceful system in effect. It's going to happen.
I hear you. And we didn't get to General Wesley Clark talking about we're going to take down 7 countries in 5 years and we're going to finish with Syria and Iran.
Project for the New American Century. That was the name of that, and that was spelled out in there. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, New Zealanders, listeners globally, we are a global family, and we're in the birth canal and slowly coming together, and it's very, very painful and messy, but we have to realize we all share the same breath and that we are one humanity.
Thank you, Tim. Lovely to be with you this morning.
Thank you, Aaron. Hey, Aaron, we've got one more minute.
You got one more minute. Okay. Just that there are a lot of very responsible and very capable people who are united in terms of doing what is necessary in order to have the system change. So look for the positive information that's available, mostly in the alternative media. If you've got the internet, most of you will look there, and you'll find people like Hannity, you'll find people, name a couple of others, Tim, you would know them.
Oh,
SGT report.
Yeah, that's right.
The X-22 report, that's Dave. We've mentioned before, Robert David Steele.
That's interesting because Trump's come out against Fox recently. And yet the Hannity report, Hannity's, I know I had somebody come around, a top New Zealand journalist a couple of weeks ago. She said, oh, I don't like him at all. But he's telling a very interesting truth. And there's Tucker Carlson too. I mean, Jeff Rentz at the moment, Jeff Rentz and Rentz.com, he actually is as really frustrated as to what's really going on. Worth checking out globalresearch.ca. Very important.
Michelle Chosudovsky.
Yes.
Former colleague of mine. Judge Jeanine, for instance. Well, even
she's
in
a goer.
Even in the media, you see, Fox particularly, there is a division between people who are looking for the truth and those people who are in the pay, in the service, or who are being intimidated and threatened by the cabal. So there are divisions everywhere.
And we have to bring everybody together.
We have to bring the people who are on the side of positivity, on the side of cooperation, on the side of peace. They are definitely having to get together and be compassionate to what one of my fellows calls our partners in contrast. Those other poor human beings are not in good shape.
Okay. Keep love alive.
Will do, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Aaron, or Professor Frederick Landrager, political analyst of conspiracy theory. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send. And remember, even Facebook. To tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.7 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are on Facebook, on Green Planet FM, and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say, Kia Kaha and Haere Uraha.